A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
God, never realized Frankie Bridge had so many just viewpoints of like.
Jamie, stop it!
I'm kidding. Obviously, everything is my fault. I don't. What do you mean my fault? I'm just now I'm blabbering again.
I actually agree with that. For once, we agree.
Oh, hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We're still here with the lovely Frankie Bridge. Woohoo! Hey, Frankie, can I ask you, because I want to get into a lot of things.
It's a nice mic you've got there, Frankie, that mic.
Thank you very much. Your one, I feel like you're at, like, Butlins or something.
Butlins?
Oh, my God. Butlins. Have you ever been to Butlins?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Same.
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
I met the girl who owned Butlins or something like that.
Of course she did. Yeah. Not just a red coat, she owned it.
A red coat, you professional. Look at you. It's not just a red coat. Butlins is a very odd place. I thought it was going to be
Well,
like,
I swear you knew that girl as well, Jamie.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, did
Didn't you meet her at Butlins?
No. But Frankie, you have been... You are the one of the hardest working people I know, because you've been working ever since you were like 12 years old, pretty much.
Yeah.
Did you not look back at it and think that's insane? So your work ethic, even in lockdown, right, you must be thinking, well, that's why I need to work all the time, because... If anyone
dollar bills, yeah.
But if anyone doesn't know, Frankie was in S Club Juniors to begin with anything. Do you look back at that time fondly? Was it good fun?
Yeah, I do. It's weird. Like, if I ever meet like any friends' kids that are 12, and I think there is no way you could go and work. Like
I'm going to put you to
it
work.
Just seems so young. Yeah, it's so weird.
You know what you
I'm
need? Like, a job.
Let's see what you can do. So I do find it weird, but yeah, I wouldn't change it, because when you're 12, you don't really realize, like, I didn't realize how big it was. You know, you're earning money, but you don't need to earn money. You know, I had no responsibilities or anything, so I just enjoyed it. For me, it was like, oh, I'm not at school and I'm just singing and dancing, which is what I've always wanted to do. So
I think it's good for children to work, you know, to learn responsibility. You know, I know. I do think it's good. I don't see, like, if why is it on the one hand, it's okay for a child to work at 12, you know, in acting or modelling or whatever.
Yes.
But, like, you know, not for a child to work, you know, learning accounting.
But I suppose my point is, there's two things here. I think, firstly, I think Frankie, when you were in S Club Juniors, you were every 14-year-old boy's crush. I think you were everyone's. Crush.
Thanks.
Not just 14-year-old boys, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You were,
we know what you mean. Thanks, Francis.
But secondly, I suppose the different thing is that if you're like an accountant at 12 years old, like, firstly, you need training and stuff like that, but being famous...
No, that's the thing, you learn accounting on the job as like an apprentice.
I get that, but only
if you really want to do it, I suppose, whereas like acting and singing and dancing starts off, it's like a hobby, isn't it? Unless you've got those pushy parents that push you to do it, which I didn't have.
Accounting's a hobby.
Is it?
Yeah.
For Francis,
is that what you do at the weekend?
Yeah.
Francis gets off with counting.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, look.
God.
To all of our listeners, Frances is holding up an accounting book for dummies. That is just genius. But my point is that being...
Bit of light reading.
Yeah, my being 12 years old. How old are you? You were 12 years old, Frankie, was that right?
Yeah.
12 years old and becoming famous, that's hectic. Becoming so famous at any age is pretty hectic, right? But being 12 years old, that's intense, no?
The worst is when you're one.
Yeah. That's a killer.
Yeah.
But you never know. You never know what it's like. Yeah, for like a year of your life, you know what it's like to not be famous. But the rest of your life, it's never the same.
Yeah, good one, Francis.
Yeah. Anyway, as we were. You know what? We just weren't really that aware of it, and I think because there was no social media, no one was really allowed to write about us, like in newspapers and things
really?
Like that. Like we were so protected.
A super injunction.
Well, I think that something like that. I mean, I don't think it was like, but I think it was weird for papers to
write about 12-year-olds. It actually is. Yeah, I think it's like, quite weird. Actually,
I think one paper did, and they tried to make out that we were being like exploited and stuff, and we just weren't. Like, it wasn't. Our parents were really involved. There were so many laws that they had to abide by and things like that. So it was fine and it was fun, and like our team of people around us were amazing, and I'm still in touch with most of them. So it was more of a shock going from that, where I had chaperones and your like time in front of the camera was like a certain amount of hours and you had to have a certain amount of days off and all that stuff, which I hated at the time being a kid. You know, you want to be grown up. And then when I got into Saturdays, I was like, oh, where's my chaperone? Where's my
really?
Mandatory 2 days off actually and stuff like that.
The child performance licensing laws are actually very strict, right? Like they've been around since, I think, the 60s. And they're really quite stringent, like on what you're allowed to do, what you're, you know,
but when we the confusing bit when we started was at the time all the laws were like kids in theatre, which is obviously completely different to like what we were doing.
Pop stars.
Yes. So it was hard to kind of make the rules work, like, you know, in both ways. But it was fine. Like, I wouldn't change it. But I kind of also look back and it just seems like a different person.
Would you choose it for your children?
Oh, bet she is. Pushing. Go on, you better play football.
They're all over TikTok, mate.
You better fucking do
this. Not really, no. I think it's a really difficult one. Like, my parents, they were put in a really difficult position. And, like, even now, they're like, it was really hard because, you know, they've got their 12-year-old daughter and someone saying, look, we're going to take her off and do all this. And she was, they were a bit like, okay, if we say no, she might hate us forever and she might miss out on this amazing opportunity. But we say yes, we're kind of handing her over to these people to kind of take over her life and take her out of school, although we were homeschooled. So it was, I feel for them, and I don't know if I'd like to be in that position
Cause
as a parent.
Yeah, do you know what? You're so right, Frankie, because it is a really tricky, because you're like, do I want my child to be a kid or do we want them to grow up kind of fast? And if we say yes to it, then we're giving our child their dream, but we also know the after effects of sometimes these things happen. So it's a really tricky, what do you do? Do you take away the dream from your child, or do you give it to them but know that potentially, you know, it might not work out, or it might be this, or it might be that? I suppose also my question is, when did it start to become a job? Because at the beginning you said like it was a hobby and it was fun and it was, and then when did you start to go, okay, this is now, it's quite full on? Or never, did that never happen?
I don't think it happened in S Club Juniors. Or maybe it did. I don't know.
Was there a point where you guys all fell out in S Club Juniors? Or?
We didn't really fall out, but there was like a little bit of animosity where like me and Calvin were kind of thrust to the front.
Was there some competition?
Yeah, a bit, and that's what happens in bands, like, because.
But Frankie, you demanded that, didn't you? You said, "Look, I'm."
Yeah. I was a complete asshole. That's all I wanted.
Listen, me and Calvin have to be at the front, so let's
yes. Get so back you go.
Yeah, they were quite competitive with me, but.
Yeah, it was. You know what? It was a weird one. We actually all got on really well, but obviously, there's always that in the back of your mind. And I kind of always describe it to people as like when you're in musical theatre, you get a role in a show, and you know you're the lead, or you know you're ensemble, or you know whatever. In a musical band, you know your bassist, your drummer, your front singer. You know where you are. Whereas when you're in a pop group, and which is why I think so many pop groups end up falling out and all that jazz, is because
there's no leader.
You don't, Yeah, you don't know hierarchy. Where your what your role is. You have to all figure that out as time goes on. And you might not always particularly like the position you fall in, but that's what it is.
Egos. Especially as children, egos are like their main driving force, right, for a child.
Wait, say that again. What did you say it was? What did
egos.
You say?
Egos. They're egos. Yeah, they, and then I think as you
grow, I don't think that's right.
As you grow up, then you sort of learn to shed the ego. Right?
I think your ego gets more as you get older a little bit. And then
really?
Maybe
for you. I think I've lost my ego as I got older.
Well, I think when your ego appears, I suppose, when you're in competition with other people. So if you play football at a young age and you suddenly go into a team where someone else is as good at football as you, you then it's tricky. So I think that when you're in a band, I think the hard thing, especially when you don't know your positions, it's when everyone starts getting benefits from being in the band, whether that's financial benefits or more popularity or things like that, then it starts to become an ego thing because people are then in competition. I think that's what then becomes hard.
But then even with that, like at the time, we didn't really know people's opinions of us. Like I say, there was no social media. So I didn't know if anyone thought our band was good, liked my hair, didn't like my hair, all that jazz. Like I didn't really know all that. And that didn't really come until the Saturdays.
Did you do some like signings at HMV and stuff like that?
I think we did. I'm sure we did signings and stuff.
France was acting coy. France was acting coy. He was in the front.
Yeah,
he
was
in the
front. There?
Frankie, do you remember a guy called...
Frankie! Being dragged out by all them.
Frankie! Wait, so what year was the S Club Juniors?
I don't know. I was 12 and I'm 31
now. We're the same age. Frankie, we're the same age. All of us are the same age. When's your birthday, Frankie, again?
89, 14th of January.
Okay, so I actually missed you. I was in the States when you were when you were 12. Yeah.
That's a shame. They did an American version.
Oh, really?
American Juniors.
Yeah, but at that age, I was not into that kind of music. You know, I was into like punk.
Of course you were.
Are you trying to neg Frankie? I wasn't
being honest.
You know what, Francis? Fuck you.
Just being honest. Like I think you're great, but I missed the whole S Club 7 thing. I'm sorry.
S Club Juniors. S Club 7 Juniors. Thing.
Oh my God. Do your research, Francis.
Hey, but I represent the small minority of people who are in my position. So
there we go.
It's good. It's good. I asked you the question.
Totally fine. It's totally fine.
But
normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, I suppose also the sort of thing, you know, as I said in the first part, you've written this amazing book that I suppose you can go and get online at Amazon or your bookstores. It's called Open by Frankie Bridge. And it's an amazing account of like what you and, you know, on these podcasts, annoyingly, we could just go into all your life and chat about everything. But, you know, you are very open in it. And I think... what was so interesting about you is that you were doing all of these things with S Club Juniors and you went to the Saturdays and you were in the Saturdays and from an outside perspective, you were living this pop star dream and you were on the stage every night going around the country being what everyone thinks is the, you know, what they want when they're kids. You know, you think, oh, Frankie Bridge is doing that. You know, you think this is the best thing ever. And actually underneath it all, you were having a really tricky time. You were feeling really sad. You were feeling anxious. You were feeling all these different things. And do you think that started because of the pressure of other people and people's comments? Or did it just come because sometimes it just comes that way?
I was anxious as a kid. Like, I was a real deep thinker, always overthought things. Like, I could catastrophize everything. Then I think just like, yeah, of course, the kind of life that I ended up leading was obviously going to make that worse, because I'm someone that likes to be liked. Even if someone's a complete ass, I will not like it if they don't like me. It's stupid. And I think that's on like a huger scale when you're in the spotlight. It definitely added to it, but also more so just the pressure that I put on myself. Like, oh, I've got to be skinny. I've got to look a certain way. I've got to sound perfect all the time, or everyone has to like me. And I think a lot of that comes from yourself, because social media didn't really start until like halfway through the Saturdays, really. Didn't really get as big. So yeah, it definitely made it worse. And just having people's opinions, you know, like, I was growing up making decisions and relationships and things like that, and everyone's always got something to say, and it's harder when you're younger, I think.
I'm sure it was good for you in many ways. You know, you're probably wiser than most because of all those, you know, grown-up decisions you had to make at a young age, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't change it, and that's the thing. Like, although in the Saturdays I had a breakdown and things like that, I still look back on it and love it all. Like, it's not like I look back and think, oh, I wish I never did it, or I'd never do it again. Like, I totally would. I love it. I still watch people's performances and things and think, oh, it's amazing, I'd love to do that. So I wouldn't change it. It's just, you know, everyone's personalities react in different ways, but I can completely see how so many child stars, whatever you want to call them, do end up in a bad way. And I think that mainly ends up with people who they surround themselves by.
Yeah.
And I was so lucky. All of my mates are still my mates from school. So like, they knew me before anything, and they're always the first to pull me up on anything and be like, Frank, you look like a dick, or you're getting carried away, or have you seen that picture of you on the Daily Mail with one eye closed, or, you know, like, they're just like, but I love that. And I don't surround myself with yes people, and I think that's where people go wrong, because I think you can really easily fall into that.
Jamie, take note.
But it's true, right? And I think, you know, you were very, you know, use the word, you're open about your whole experience, and I think that so many people were not. The thing is, it's not totally unrelatable, because you were famous or whatever in a band. It's actually just your own personal struggle that you went through, and so many people can relate to that. And I want to give a big shout out to Mal, who actually Frankie and I, bizarrely, Francis, we share the same therapist. It was totally by accident. I wasn't trying to stalk Frankie in any sort of way, but we do. But Mal,
do you think you could introduce me to her, Frankie?
Yeah, but she's a wonderful.
Wait, is that
person.
How you guys met?
No, it's not. Well, no. We went past each other. Hey, you going
in the corridor at therapy?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
What are you in here for? Okay, cool. Hey, let's do it.
Just sobbing as we were past each other.
Let's connect. But it is. But it honestly, Frankie, to not only to women, but to men as well. It's a kind of a really great little read, because you do really understand that some of the stuff that, you know, people who are you, because when you're feeling a certain thing, whether it's anxiety or eating disorders or sadness or insomnia or whatever you're going through, so many people are feeling the same thing, and the fact that you feel alien to that, you being open and honest about it, actually makes people go, okay, it's actually okay that I have felt this way. And it's a cliche thing to say, but it's totally true.
Well, a lot of it is like my own brain and my own thoughts, so it's actually quite irrelevant to what my career path was. It was just the way that I used to think about myself and others. That was all me, you know. And people in any job or any life, they all have those same thoughts and feelings, just in different situations. Which is why I felt like it was important to write it, because also I was in this like amazing position and living a life that lots of people feel like they want to live, and I still felt that way. And you can have people that are like, oh, boo-hoo, poor little pop star, feeling sad. But that's why I wrote it, to be like, yeah, I know. And I had so much guilt about that. Like, that was part of my problem, was like, I should be so fucking happy. And I wasn't. Yeah. So
it's important for people to know, because I think a lot of people think that the things that you know, enjoyed back there when you were in the Saturdays and S Club, they think that would be what would make them happy. And you realize it's not. It's something else entirely, which you know you can find elsewhere.
Exactly.
Did you ever, Frankie, when you were performing, did any of you guys ever hook up with any fans, or was that just strictly forbidden?
No.
Did you not? Did you ever like throw your number out to someone in the crowd? Did you never do that?
No. You know what? I feel like it's different with girl bands, because it's normally like A, girls, or like we had a lot of like gay guy fans, like, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Like Jamie.
I don't feel like there's... there was that many guys in the audience that like
I just think, because you always said that you used to, because when you went to nightclubs and stuff like that, and no guys ever approached you. You said no one.
No,
I just don't,
not really.
I don't get that. That's because I thought if you,
I don't know, I do have a bit of like a resting bitch face. I probably just have one of those faces that just basically said like fuck off.
Yeah.
But we have to give a big shout out to your husband Wayne, who is a legend in not only football game, but in so much. He's also a legend because he beat up Spencer Matthews in a boxing match, which is the most hilarious thing I've ever... So, Frosty, you know this, he fought Spencer in a boxing match and fucking nailed him.
Really?
Yeah. Totally beat him up, which is
but
just
But then
hilarious.
Spencer beat me on MasterChef, so, you know, swings around bells.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Frances, we got into that moment in the podcast where you have to give us the answer to the question of the week.
Oh, I can't wait.
So you said, Frankie, that they put a statue or a plaque.
No, I said there was like an old wall with a plaque.
And Jamie, you said...
it's a hospital now, it's a hospital.
A hospital.
No, you said nondescript.
Nondescript. It's just a nondescript place.
Okay, Frances, what is it?
So it's actually a child's playground.
How lovely.
That is, you tried to lead us down a path saying it's a big place. It's a children's playground now.
Yeah.
Is there like any acknowledgement of it?
No, because why would they want to remind all the children about it?
Yeah, Frankie thinks it's a wall with a plaque on it. Hey, Frankie got to also that moment where Frances, you have to read us your diary.
Oh wait, where has it gone?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God.
Oh, have you just...
It's deleted.
Yeah, it's deleted.
No,
oh, I can't.
No, hold on. Let me find it. Hold on.
Francis, is that like a pile of like tea and coffee and stuff?
I think this is protein shakes.
It's like cacao powder.
Oh. Why isn't it in a cupboard?
Organic. Does that annoy you, Frankie? Does that annoy you that it's not in a cupboard?
No, because I use it.
It looks like it's in a green room.
I use it.
Oh, okay.
All right, so
Frances, shall we have your diary?
My diary. Over the course of the past few months that I haven't been able to go to the dentist, I've never been more aware of every little toothache. I rarely ever have tooth problems, so a trip to the dentist is really low on my to-do list generally, and sometimes I won't go for days at a time. Wait, what? I guess...
Okay, who goes to the dentist daily?
Sorry, that should say years, every few years.
It's like you're reading it out in front of the school.
I guess it shows that we take the ease with which we can simply book a trip to the dentist for granted, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Spitting truth, dropping truth bombs
there.
Yes, yeah, so deep. That's
so
sick.
Deep.
I think it also really shows Britain's attitude to dental hygiene, that early on in the lockdown, dentists were not seen as key workers like nurses or doctors.
Sick.
This would never happen in America, where their obsession with dentistry goes a bit far. Every child in my class, if they had the slightest crooked tooth, got braces. I think I was in the small minority of children who didn't need them. I always used to think this was because I was less inbred.
What? What the fuck?
Actually, that was just where it ended.
Oh, is that where it ended?
That's where the thought ended.
Yeah.
Okay, that was... Hey, Frances, thanks for that, buddy. I really appreciate that. I'm going to give you a little clap for that little diary.
Really giving us something.
Hey, look, at least I had a diary, Jamie.
Hey, listen, we
ran out of
time.
At least I did the one thing I was supposed to do.
We ran out of time, buddy.
Two things, and my question of the week.
Hey, Frank.
Oh, Jamie, are you supposed to do these things?
Frankie,
well?
Supposed to do
he
it.
Was busy sunning himself,
no,
wasn't
no,
he?
No, I wasn't.
Yes, actually,
no, wasn't.
you've sunned the lower half of your face much more than the upper part. Which, all that tells me is that you have not been wearing a mask.
Listen. Listen, Frankie, listen, we've taken up far too much of your time. I want to say, firstly, go and get Frankie's book Open. It's a really unbelievably good read. Secondly, Frankie, you have your wonderful podcast, which is also called Open. With
Open Mind
with Frankie Bridge. Go and check that out. You can listen to my episode if you want to go. I talk a lot.
It's very
I
good,
just kept yeah. talking. I'm so sorry. I just wouldn't stop talking. But also, Frankie, listen, you know, you say you have these social anxieties and all this different stuff. You're honestly one of the nicest, most wonderful people that I've met. And you every single time Thanks. That anyone talks about you, they say how great you are. And that's just totally true. So we just really appreciate you coming on the podcast today, not only because you're a great pool for our listeners, so but also because we just really like you. So thank you for having me, guys. Oh, Frankie.
Oh, no, thank you.
Hey, Frankie, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Oh, fuck.
That was perfect.
Yeah, that was ideal. You can go back to your original comment. What was the one at the end of the part one?
Be kind.
Yeah.
I know, but everyone says that. Think you can think of something better than that.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I feel like coming out of lockdown is like the perfect chance to kind of take the things that you've figured out that you really want or you really don't want from your life. And this is the time to make those changes if you can.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like I'm doing that to go forward. So although it's been a really difficult time, I think we can try and all take a little bit of good from it.
There we go. Frankie Bridge. Thank you
really
so
uninspirational.
Much. No, that was great. Woo-hoo! Everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.